Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. Gutterhelmetindy.com.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob Casey's here. And you know, Casey,
yeah,
property taxes have been kind of a big deal this year.
I've heard something about them. some people talking about it.
Yes. And as we've talked about many times, the Republicans are doing basically nothing to help most people with the property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody who does have an idea is State Representative Cherish Pryor. She's a Democrat, represents part of Indianapolis, and she joins us now to talk about maybe some things we can do with property taxes. Cherish, how are you?
I'm doing good this morning. How are you all doing?
Well, we love having you here, and we've said this many times. The Democrats will always come on our show and talk to us about ideas. The Republicans will not. So, congratulations. Let's talk about property taxes. You obviously, we were talking before we went on the air, you represent part of 38th Street all the way over to the Colts Complex.
Yes.
Why are more people in the General Assembly? It doesn't seem like the Republicans, for the most part, are motivated on this issue. It seems like they kind of went forced into even crafting any sort of legislation. Do you, when you're walking around the State House, do you hear about this from your colleagues? And if not, why don't you think more people are interested in it?
No, I don't hear a lot about it. You know, there are a couple of organizations that have had their eye on what we're going to see in property tax bills when they start coming out, at least in Marion County, around April 3rd. So there are a couple of people that have had their eye on it, but certainly not a lot of my colleagues are talking about it at all. Quite frankly, this is something that I have been talking about for probably 10 years or now, particularly in Center Township, in the areas where we have a lot of people moving in, and the older people and some of the folks in the older homes have seen their property taxes sometimes triple and double.
That's an interesting point. And then I'm going to bring Casey in here. But you have a bill that would talk about protecting, you know, and Casey, I talk about this quite a bit, the senior citizens, some of the people on the fixed incomes, the lower, the homes below $200,000, which I want to get into.
Yes.
But this is a big deal, right? Where you say, hey, somebody's lived in their home their whole life. They're not, mm-hmm. they're not monetizing the sale of the house. They're not making any money off of it. And they may be on a fixed or lower income, and yet their property taxes are triple or quadruple what they bought the home at. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and it's just totally unfair. And for years, I've had a bill where locals, not the state would mandate, but locals would be able to decide on whether or not they would cap the increase in property tax liability. So not cap the AV, because we don't want to touch the assessed value, but say that, you know what, you've lived in these homes for years, you fought to try to make sure that your area has development come in, and now that development is coming in and people are seeing that this is a nice place, a nice area, and all these people are wanting to come in and move in, and all of a sudden you can't even afford to pay your property tax bill. And that just seems unfair to me, that someone who has invested time and energy in their community and in their home are now being forced out of their home or having to make sacrifices on what they have to pay because they can't pay their property tax bill.
Because they were there first.
They were there first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not fair. And so I have been talking about this for years. The one thing that people, when I was talking about it, the one thing is, well, several things frustrated me, quite frankly. But one of the things that frustrated me was when I heard people say, well, they should just sell their homes.
Oh.
Well, you know, they can get this windfall of money. They should just sell their home.
Where are they going to go?
Where
they're
going to go?
They're going to have to pay it on the other end as well.
They're going to have to pay it on the other mm-hmm. end. But even beyond that, why should I have to move from a community that I love and that I'm invested in because the property taxes are going up so much?
Mm-hmm.
That's just unfair. And so I was hearing a lot about that. But now, mm-hmm. that property taxes all over the place are skyrocketing. There's a new tune even from the people who were saying that to me because, you know, even my property taxes, the assessed value is going up $40,000 from last year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cherish Pryor is our guest. She's a state rep, Democrat state rep, represents part of Indianapolis. Casey.
You had mentioned that you haven't heard anybody, any of your colleagues mention any of this. Does that mean all parties, both sides?
It's really been me making a lot of hay about it. This session, though, I will say that one of my colleagues, Representative Jeff Thompson, I have to say, we do have a bill that's trying to help with some of the property tax increase. It doesn't go far enough. To me, it doesn't really address the long-term homeowners that I was just talking about. So that has been, that is a problem for me. So, and then on tomorrow, we do have another bill that came over from the Senate that attempts to try to help homeowners. But it's kind of open up to everybody. However, if we have to get something that help that does something for everybody, if it's going to help those long-term homeowners, I can support that because my thing is those long-term homeowners who are seeing those drastic increases, those folks need to be helped. So we do have a couple of things, but quite frankly, if we had done something 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, then we would be able to help people right now, because the fact of the matter is their assessed value has gone up so much. And even with the triggers that we're going to put in place, if we pass something this year, that's again an if we pass something this year.
It's no guarantee, right?
It's no guarantee. Those people are still going to be paying a whole lot more than what they would have if we had passed something 4 or 5 or 6 years ago.
Right. It won't take an effect until probably next year anyway.
Generally, it does not. Yeah. So, you know, they're still going to be hit with that massive bill.
Cherish Pryor is our guest. She's a state representative, represents part of Indianapolis from 38th Street over to the Colts Complex on 56th Street. So this seems like, you know, Republicans say they're the party of low taxes and limited government. This seems like it'd be in their wheelhouse. And yet, as we've talked about, almost no Republican wants to lead on this. They don't want to do big things like you have proposed that would protect the elderly, the fixed income people. Why do you think so few people want to, you know, lean into this topic like you have?
I don't think that people really saw the need. I don't think that some legislators thought that it was real. And it probably hadn't affected their community. And quite frankly, you know, I work for the Marion County Treasurer's Office and Auditor's Office, so property taxes is kind of my wheelhouse, and I have a pretty good grasp and understanding of it. So as I was seeing the numbers and the data and hearing from the people, or just seeing the people in the community, I knew that it was a problem. But oftentimes, unfortunately, people don't see that there is a problem until it happens to them or in their district or in their community. But now I think that we are having this, the property tax situation is kind of escalating all over the place.
For everybody.
For everybody.
It's not until everybody's affected that they start paying attention. Yeah. Cherish Pryor's with us. I wanted to ask you specifically about House Bill 1501 and 1499. Now, can you talk to us a little bit about these and what we're trying to accomplish?
So you're referring to my bill? Okay, so my bill, that's the bill that I've been working on for years. What the bill does is it is for the longtime homeowners. And what it says is if you've lived in your home as your homestead, so I think it's important to make this distinction. This is for homestead owners. So if this is, if you have a second home or you know, a rental property, this doesn't apply to you. But if this is your, has been your homestead for 10 years, then, and your assessed value is $200,000 or less, and your local area designates your areas as a neighborhood enhancement district, your property taxes will not increase by more than 5% from the prior year. So it caps the increase. And when, if you move or if you sell your home, that new person that comes in, they pay the full amount of the property tax bill. They don't get that neighborhood enhancement district deduction because they haven't lived in that home as their homestead for 10 years.
It really is.
So it starts back over. The base starts over again.
It really is designed, as we talked about, it's one bill. It's one example of what we've kind of talked about, Casey, which is the people who have lived in their houses forever should not be punished.
Should not be punished. And they're still paying more because I do believe that you still need to pay more because everything is costs are going up. But you shouldn't pay that drastic increase, and for a lot of big people it's drastic increases.
Is there a reason that you picked 10 years?
It just seems like a long enough time to show that the person had been invested in their community. I could have gone a little bit longer, or I don't think the shorter time would have worked because the idea is for the longtime homeowners, and I didn't want to people who had moved in the community and who had pushed those assessed values up. They're not the people who should get that benefit.
Cherish Pryor, state representative, before we let you go, what should people be doing? Because it seems like our audience is very fired up about this. We get all sorts of emails, phone calls, but it just doesn't seem like your colleagues down at the State House care about this certainly to the level you do. What should people be doing to try to make some change?
A couple of things. I would say that they need to call their legislators in the House and Senate and tell them that they want them to support House Bill 1499, which is another bill that I am on. And that bill is by Representative Jeff Thompson, that's going to cap the or lower the 1% cap to a 0.95 and a 0.97% and one for next year and the year after next. But it's temporary. So that's a temporary fix. So to support that bill. And then also tomorrow we're hearing House Senate Bill 46 with Jack Salen is sponsoring. Tell them to support that bill as well. So those, particularly the one tomorrow, will focus in on those long-term homeowners.
Thank you for coming in and talking to us. The Republicans will absolutely not talk about this issue, and we really appreciate you being willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. No problem. You know, property taxes, that's my thing. So whenever you want to talk
about
it.
That's great. We love it.
The last thing is I would tell people, we don't do this enough. I think I would say that for people, if you're having a difficult time paying your property taxes, to make sure you contact the treasurer's office and get on a property tax payment plan. So one thing I want to leave people with is a way to get help. So try to get on that long-term payment plan. Make sure that you have your deductions. Also, if you're over 65, make sure you get the over 65 deduction, because that is the over 65 deduction is going to save you more money than any of the bills that we're proposing.
Wow.
Thank you, Cherish Pryor. We appreciate you.
Thank you. You all have a good day.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
You come from a land down under. 22 minutes after 11, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. You know, James Comer and Chuck Grassley, they've been investigating the Bidens for a while now. And what is it that you always say, Rob? It's a likely accidental act of journalism?
Random, confused, likely accidental.
Okay, well, that's what we have coming from CNN this morning. They say that it looks like that they may have lost their way. They say that the books on Biden don't look good.
On a certain level, just as a layperson, you hear this, and it doesn't sound good. There's a guy whose name is John Robinson Walker. He gets $3 million from a Chinese space company and proceeds to wire it out to a bunch of people named Biden, one of whom is Hunter Biden. Another one is a company that belongs to the president's brother, James Biden, and another amount of money to Beau Biden's widow, Hallie. So, again, from a layperson, that doesn't look good.
CNN definitely singing a different tune. A year ago, they would have never said that.
Well, it's so obvious who these people are. It's so obvious what Joe Biden is. It's so obvious what Hunter Biden is. It's so obvious what Joe Biden's brother is. Now it looks like the other son's widow may be involved. Now there's rumors that the other Biden may have been Jill Biden. I mean, look, you are very rarely in society do you have absolutely zero skill sets whatsoever and become infinitely wealthy. They were influence peddlers. It's so obvious what that family has been for a very long time.
Also trending this morning, Dollar Tree. They say they're going to stop selling eggs because they're too expensive.
Oh, you mean like eggs that people eat?
Yeah, in the dairy cooler.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
How long can you keep an egg after the best if used by date?
Depends. Is it still raw or have you hard boiled it?
No. It's like an egg in a carton.
Okay.
And I have a couple eggs left in a carton that I saw. It said best if used by March 13th. But I thought I probably have like $9 worth of eggs sitting here.
Yeah.
So how long can you go and still not get some sort of, like, I don't mind a minor ailment of some sort.
Uh-huh. You don't want to be throwing up for days.
Let's see if it says here on the.
How long can you go? I think a week, maybe two.
How long?
You're probably right there. You better use those eggs.
Because my wife said no, and I was going to eat it. And she's like, you shouldn't do that.
Really?
Well, you bought these eggs.
Well, she cares about you.
You're the one who didn't
definitely
use the eggs.
Definitely don't let her eat them because she's the one with
how
the baby
right now.
How long
can an egg go past expiration date? Let's see what it says. Are you ready?
Yeah.
4 to 5 weeks.
You're in the safe zone.
Oh, I'm totally fine.
Don't let her eat them, though, okay?
The carton's Julian date. That's the date the eggs were packed. That's not the best if used by. This is of no help. Anyway, go on.
Also trending, the Ringling Brothers. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has been reimagined. It's being reborn, this time without animals. They're still going to have high wire tricks and the trapeze artists and bicycles leaping off of trampolines. Just no animals in the circus. And finally, the James Beard Awards. They recently released their winners for the 23 America Classics Award. These are awards for restaurants. And in the great state of Indiana, one restaurant won the prestigious National Award for its fried chicken.
Oh.
Which restaurant was that? Wagner's Village Inn in Oldenburg, Indiana.
Oldenburg? Where the hell is Oldenburg?
It's located in eastern Indiana near I-74, not too far from Cincinnati. Okay. So if you want some fried chicken, go to Wagner's
Village Inn. You've
probably
been to Oldenburg, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a nice little historic German town.
I knew it. It's German. I knew it.
The street signs are in German, and the police cars are, it says Polizei on them.
Uh-huh. Have you had the fried chicken there from Wagner's Village Inn?
No, but I had very good schnitzel.
You know why I love Kev? Because Kev's an old soul. Kev's 27, and you'll ask Kev, hey, have you been to this local hotspot where all the young chicks are hanging out? Nope, never heard of it. Kev, have you been to Oldenburg? Oh, yeah, I take a tour there every year. It's got great schnitzel.
Great schnitzel there.
I should have been born in Oldenburg in the 1880s.
You could have been the mayor of Oldenburg, Kev.
Yeah, I would have thrived.
Still can, actually. There's plenty of time. 26 minutes after 11, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Do you want to get into this Trump thing?
Yes, real quick.
Okay, so Melania Trump apparently spent several nights in a D.C. hotel to keep away from the White House when news broke of the alleged, are we calling it an affair? The alleged?
I don't know. Is 6 minutes count as an affair?
Is that what it was?
Is there a time limit? Okay. I think she said it was less than that.
The alleged affair between Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. So she left. She bolted. Rather than have him spend the night on the couch, she went to some posh D.C. hotel.
Yeah, because it wasn't the thing that when the alleged indiscretion took place, she had just given birth to Barron Trump.
Who I believe today's his birthday.
Is it today?
Isn't he 17, 18?
He's very tall.
He's very tall. He's sprouted up.
Yeah. I guess he has no athletic ability because I've heard nothing about him playing basketball.
Well, Donald Trump is very tall as well, and so is Melania.
Stood right next to Donald Trump. Yes, he's a very tall human being.
Makes sense.
Donald Trump takes up a lot of space. You know, some people could be tall and they don't seem big to you. He's a big person.
Yeah, definitely sticks out in a crowd. He would dwarf a lot of people. It would be like George H. Bush and Dukakis when they debated. They had to put Dukakis up on a little step stool so he didn't seem so short.
Unless you're very alpha like me, it'd be very intimidating to be around Donald Trump.
Well, apparently Donald Trump was afraid that Melania was going to dump him.
Yeah. Well, he probably should have been.
She did for a few hours.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I always thought this was like being married to Tony Soprano. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you've ever seen the show The Sopranos, the spoiler alert, the show's been off the air for 16 years. They can probably do it now. You know, the wife, throughout the course of the show,
has to tolerate a lot of nonsense.
Exactly. And
bada bing.
And she then does her own nonsense and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Bada bing. I see what you did there. You know what you're getting in for.
Did she?
There's no
way. Was that explained
Melania,
when they got married that he was in the mob?
She knew. She stayed with him, what she was in for. My point on this is, Casey, when you marry Donald Trump, you knew what you signed up for, so you shouldn't probably act overly surprised that he did the exact thing
that he
had always been doing.
That he had a wandering eye. Yeah.
It doesn't make it okay. I'm just saying you should not be like, I am so offended that you did this. I'm so shocked. Donald Trump had many women at his disposal.
There are a lot of companies right now that are laying off workers, and we're going to get into that coming up from 93 WIBC. It is 11:34. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So yesterday, Biden signed into law something that could shed some light on the links between the coronavirus pandemic and also the Wuhan lab in China.
He finally signed it?
He finally signed
it. Didn't sit on his desk for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's going to require all U.S. intelligence-related officers to release and declassify any information about the origins of COVID, and they have to do that within 90 days for it to...
I'm still confused why he took so long to sign this. I mean, they knew it was coming. It was a really big deal. And then he just let it sit there. Like, again, not to be Biden here, but no joke, man. Like, 2 weeks he let it sit there before he finally...
Well, not only that, but there was a while that Karine Jean-Pierre!
Yeah!
The White House press secretary, she was asked, is he going to sign it? Is he going to sign it? And she was like, I don't know.
What possible, unless you were just attempting to cover up that this thing was created in a lab, as we now know it was, why would you delay that at all? And why wouldn't you want every bit of transparency to be out there, every piece of documentation possible to be out there?
Silly Rob.
So the American people can see.
You're being funny now.
How did this happen so maybe we could avoid it happening again?
You just said you want the Biden administration to be transparent. You're silly.
Dude, we've got to become buddies with this Jefferson Shreve guy. He's on TV now, too. Like, he probably has memberships at really nice places we can't get into.
You're talking about the guy who's running for mayor.
Yeah, you need to reach out to him because we all know how it'll go if I do it.
Okay, I'll pull him up on Twitter. Do you think he's on Twitter? He
probably.
Better be on Twitter.
Yeah, he's got a Twitter account.
I'll pull him up on Twitter. Should I slip into his DMs?
You absolutely should, right away. right away. There's no way he's not responding to you if you get into his DMs. I didn't mean to derail this conversation. I just thought he's on TV again. Like, he is...
He's spending $600,000.
Yeah, we need more friends like that. Why do we have friends like Kevin? We need friends like Jefferson Shreve.
Kevin knows where the best place is to get schnitzel.
In Olden
in
Town?
In southern Indiana.
Is it Olden Town? Is that where it was?
It's Oldenburg. Yeah, you can be rich in culture if you're friends with me.
Hey, speaking of Biden and being ridiculous, he did another What in the World is Biden Saying yesterday.
Oh, right. He did.
Yeah.
He was, what was he talking about? Persian culture or something? It was it's another round of I'm so embarrassed that this is my president. What was he saying? This could go in Biden madness for next year. You never know. Do we have that audio, Kevin? Yep. Okay, let's hear it.
You know, the Persian culture is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture, not a practitioner, but a student.
What does that mean?
Can we just play that again? Because it's all great.
He's a student.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Casey.
You know, the Persian culture is amazing. As a student of the Persian culture, not a practitioner, but a student.
What is he learning?
I have no idea. I have no idea what any of that means.
He's a man of so many cultures.
It's awesome.
He's Irish. He's Puerto Rican. He claims to be black half the time. By the way, completely switching back to Jefferson Shreve.
Yes. Our rich, soon-to-be friend.
Who's running for mayor of Indianapolis.
We love you, Abdul, but you don't have near the money this guy does.
He has three Twitter accounts. And the one that I believe is the mayor account, yeah. Shreve for Indiana, uh-huh. I would assume that's the mayor account, that one's locked. So I hit the follow button, and now it's pending. Like, I have to be approved.
No, there's no way he has three Twitter accounts. There's no way. There's got to be another Shreve.
No.
Are you sure?
It's his picture.
Oh, maybe somebody lifted his photo.
Or maybe he's got a troll account. Okay, so one says he's the founder of Storage Express.
Yeah, I saw that one.
That one.
He's got recent... Just follow them all, Casey.
I'm gonna follow them all.
He's got $590 million, Casey.
And now there's another one that has zero followers and he's following zero.
Don't take any chances. Just keep adding all of them. And you do, look, Casey, remember in Forrest Gump when the guy that's the principal or whatever comes out and goes, your mama sure does care about your education.
Uh-huh.
That's
us in the show. I sure do care about the show. But now it says that he has one follower and it's me. I'm out there on an island all on my own. Well, I hope, he'll approve the pending follow. Boy, you have to be special, huh?
Hey, whatever you got to be. You be it.
I'm going to do it. I'll do it for the show,
Bob. He may want to come to the mentoring session with me and Kev. I guarantee he picks up the tab.
I was going to say, you may want him to go.
Hey, real quick, I did want to tell you, I watched this last night, and it was...
What did you watch?
Well, it was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It is called MH370, The Plane That Disappeared.
Oh.
And it is about that Malaysian plane that in, I think, 2013 just disappeared. It was the 777 plane that was flying across the Indian Ocean, and they've never found it. There were hundreds of people on it.
Bermuda Triangle.
Not the Bermuda Triangle. It was in the Indian Ocean by Australia. And this was, don't you remember this?
I remember what you're talking about.
It was like just the biggest story ever. Netflix has a whole new, I think it's a three-part documentary out on this thing. It's called MH370, The Plane That Disappeared.
Okay.
Now, it has got a bunch of people in it that are totally full of crap. And you very quickly pick up on some of these people are totally just ridiculous. But there is a whole lot of very interesting information. And there are some people who actually have plausible, interesting theories as to what happened with this plane. And it ranges from everything from the pilot went into business for himself and did a murder-suicide, to the Russians were involved in it, to, of course, the American government was involved on it. So an incredibly tragic event. I mean, obviously, all these people are gone and passed away. The plane has never been found. Parts of the plane have been found now. But if you're looking to kill a couple of hours of your day at some point,
How long was it? Multiple parts?
Yeah, three parts.
Three parts.
I think it was three parts.
Hour long each?
Yeah, probably about right.
Okay, you got through that in one sitting.
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to go back quickly to Joe Biden signing the declassification of all of the COVID origin stuff. Yes. He claimed that there would be national security risks if it got out too soon before it was ready. That's why. You had asked earlier. And also, don't know if you heard about this, Amazon has come out and they have said they're going to lay off 9,000 employees in the next coming weeks. Disney has also come out and said that they're laying off 4,000 employees. They just laid off 7,000. They're getting ready to lay off 4,000 more.
I thought the economy was doing great.
And there was this article in the Wall Street Journal,
which you're too cheap to pay for.
Right. And it said that 27% of hiring managers reported job postings stayed up for more than 4 months. And over half of these managers said that they keep up the job opening, the posting, to give out the impression that the company was growing.
It's amazing you said that because I just had a conversation with a buddy of mine who's been in radio for years the other day, and he was commenting on how many radio jobs are supposedly available.
Yeah.
And we were saying there's no way there's that many radio jobs actually available.
Right.
And he's like, these companies have to be just maybe some of them just leaving them up.
Right. It's for the stockholders.
Oh!
And the stakeholders.
Interesting.
Not for the actual people who want to be gainfully employed. All right, coming up, who are we interviewing? Oh, football boy, Justin Hobbs, an old high school friend of Rob's.
Yes!
He gave me some dirt when you weren't around on you.
There's a secret drinking society, Casey, and our listeners are going to love this.
All right, we're going to talk to him next. From 93 WIBC.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here. Casey.
Yeah.
Did you know there is a super secret society in which being a member of the society, you sit around and you drink high-end alcohol?
Oh. Is there a secret handshake? Special door knock to get through?
And then after you drink the high-end alcohol, you take proceeds and you raise money for the community and then you do good things for the community.
Okay.
It's called the Brownsburg Bourbon Society, and this should totally be in Tony Katz's wheelhouse, but we're going to steal one from him on this one because they've got a big event coming up that everybody should be a part of, but I want to learn about what it's like to be in a bourbon society because that sounds like a place I would never be allowed to be. So Justin Hobbs joins us from the Brownsburg Bourbon Society. Hobbs, did I get this right that that's what you guys do? You sit around and you drink high-end alcohol and then you do good things for the community?
I couldn't have summed it up any better myself.
What is a bourbon society?
Well, so back during the pandemic, there were like six of us guys that kind of got together and we still wanted to meet and we're like, hey, let's bring your best bourbon or whatever. So we actually, they came over to my house a couple times and the wife.
I've been to Hobbs' house. It's a sprawling mansion in the greater Brownsburg area. So it's quite the treat.
So he's got some real high
end bourbon. Yeah.
So the wife was like, okay, I'll do some charcuterie boards for you boys. And so we brought over some bourbon and we did it a couple months. And then one of the guys is like, you know what? Let's make this a little philanthropic. We're like, okay. So one thing led to another. And so in 21, we decided, hey, let's call ourselves the Brownsburg Bourbon Society.
How do you get in? Do you guys accept members? Is there a secret handshake? What do you do?
You just have to bring a bottle of Van Winkle in.
There is.
And you're good.
Yeah. One bottle of Van Winkle. And then $100 a year.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. But the Van Winkle needs to go to me.
Yeah.
Right. For those of you playing at home, Van Winkle vodka or bourbon can go up to $50,000 a bottle.
No way.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
It is the world's most expensive bourbon.
Yes. So, what, how often do you meet? What do you do?
Well, we try to have something to do once a month. Last month, we went out to Old 55 in Newtown, Indiana. It's a distillery. This guy, his name is Jason Fruits. Dude is a BA in the Bourbon Society.
Oh yeah.
Or not in the Bourbon Society. He is
like a handshake.
Yeah.
Like the Van Buren boys on Seinfeld.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But we went out there last month, did a couple barrel picks with them. We did that.
You did
last,
a what?
A barrel pick.
What in the world is that?
Okay, so they obviously all the bourbon is it's aged in barrels.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So we go out there and he pulls some barrels that he's been aging for over 4 years.
Oh,
and
wow,
he thieves from it.
He what?
Thieving?
Justin, pretend.
It's just the angel share.
Pretend I just drink Long Island's from Kilroy's. Educate me. What is a thieving? What is that?
Well, thieving, I mean, essentially thieving, stealing from the barrel.
Oh, I see.
So he has this little contraption that he sticks down in the barrel, gets a little bit of bourbon out, and passes around to the guys that were there. Guys and girls.
You got women in the club?
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
we
it's
do.
Bi. You don't just have to be dudes.
Correct.
Casey, this could be a new thing for you.
They let everybody in.
Yeah, absolutely. how many people you got in the Brownsburg Bourbon Society now?
I think we're maybe around that 39 to 45
that's
mark.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not bad. We were wanting to cap it around 50 when we first started out, but things have been rolling. Some minds have been helping us out with some certain things. So I think that 50 cap is kind of expanded maybe a little bit higher.
Justin Hobbs is our guest. He's with the Brownsburg Bourbon Society. They have a big charity event coming up we'll talk about in just a second. How do you, is there a website? How do you get in? Is there an application process? What do you do to get in a bourbon society?
It is extremely easy to join us. It's brownsburgbourbon.org.
And you don't have to live in Brownsburg?
Absolutely not. I know some people will be like, hey, if you did West Side Bourbon Society, I'm like, hey, we established ourselves as the Brownsburg Bourbon Society, but hey, you're more than welcome to join us.
It's one of the few decent things going on in Brownsburg these days. Let's not take the name out of it. Okay, so you guys do a big philanthropic component to this. You got a big event coming up, and you talked to Katz about it, and he totally big-timed you, and because I am Mr. Brownsburg, I would never big-time you. What is it? Tell us.
So we got on June 24th, we have the Rusty Nail Golf Outing. It's at West Chase Golf
Club. Rusty Nail?
Rusty Nail,
why
yes.
is it called the Rusty Nail Golf Outing?
Well, it's actually after the guy that had the land that actually sold in 1993 to establish West Chase Golf Club.
Okay. All right.
Russ Holloway.
Yes.
Passed away in 2012.
There you go. Very good.
But actually, this has been going on well before, I mean, when he was alive and everything. He started it before West Chase was even around back in 1988.
Wow. What's it do? What are we raising money for?
We're raising money. He passed away due to cancer, so we're raising money for American Cancer Society.
Oh, that's great.
That's nice. What his wife has been doing. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, you know what? We knew Miss Holloway, and so we approached her and said, hey, let's take this and build it even more. Mm-hmm. So it took her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can vouch for Justin. We grew up together. He's not scheming or scamming. This will go to where he says it's going to go to. So what do we get? The Brownsburg Bourbon Society's being a part of this golf outing. Tell us what is going on. It'll probably be more than just golf, right? It's got to be some bourbon's got to be involved in this somehow.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting here at the end of March, and we already have three distilleries that have reached out to us. We haven't made a real hard push yet, but we've already had three distilleries reach out to us and say, hey, we want to set up on a hole.
That's great. Casey and I should just drive around on a golf cart for you and throw bourbon at people. We'd be really good at that.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to play.
Throw bourbon. I don't know about throwing anything. I hear tale that there was a Brownsburg baseball game your freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
They had a perfect season until your era.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This was a good thing for me in life, Casey, because it's just like in politics. All the great things I did for people and all people remember are the things they don't like.
Thing.
All the hits I got, all the things I did for the team, just the one bad play, and nobody ever let you forget it.
I hear that one bad play ruined the entire
season.
That's
why I'm a miserable person today, Casey. Thank you. Now you understand it all. Justin Hobbs, our guest with the Brownsburg Bourbon Society. Couple minutes left here with you guys. Why is philanthropy a big part of what you guys do? I think that's awesome.
I mean, it's something to kind of establish ourselves. Yeah. I mean, not just to make things as a bunch of drunks drinking bourbon.
Mm-hmm. You fit right in here, buddy. Have you heard Hammer and Nigel?
Yes, I have. Yeah. So they just wanted the bourbons. They had nothing. They didn't want anything to do with philanthropy. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we feel like we need to give back to the community because they've been so good to us. And also kind of helps us get our foot in the door to some other distilleries, maybe get some different bourbon barrel tastings. Mm-hmm. And we just want to grow. I mean, and we want everybody to be involved. We don't want 1,000 members and do something like twice a year. We want to do something every month, get everybody involved as much as they can.
All right. So people want info either on the golf outing, which is great. That'll be fun. Raise money for a good cause, or just the Bourbon Society in general. Cause I think you're going to get a lot of people that are going to hear this and go, opportunity to sit around and drink bourbon. Sign me up for that. How can they do it?
Well, go to brownsburgbourbon.org to learn more about Brownsburg Bourbon Society. And if you want to go learn more about our outing coming up on the 24th of June, go to rustynailgolf.com.
Justin Hobbs, that ball was in the lights, Hobbs. It was really hard to see.
4:30 in the afternoon, Rob.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Kevin. Good job today. And thank you for listening. We're going to count on you to be back here tomorrow. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Hey, Casey.
Yeah?
Important question.
What?
Very important question.
What?
Think very long and hard before you answer.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
How would you feel if you lost out on $111,000 in retirement income?
Remorseful.
Remorseful. Boy, that's a nice way of putting it. And get this, 96% of Americans lose out on an average of $111,000 in Social Security income, and it's because they claimed their benefits at the wrong time. You know us, we're Kendall and Casey.
You can learn how to avoid this with a free Social Security analysis from Bill Demery, your retirement guy, right here in Indy. We trust Bill Demery so much that we're now clients of Bill Demery. And if you've saved at least $200,000 and have not filed for Social Security, schedule your free analysis by calling 317-932-9912. Bill does all the heavy lifting and won't charge you a dime for it.
Call 317-932-9912. That's 317-932-9912.